In this episode of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, our guest is Corey Dillon. Man, this guy, you talk about a combination of speed and power. Unbelievable. He ran so angry. I've never seen a running back finish runs with more devastation than Corey Dillon. Ask a lot of defensive players that played in that time frame. They'll tell you that Corey Dillon brought it and brought it 100%. Every single time he carried the football. We're going to find things out about Corey Dillon, his career, high school, junior college, the college level, and in the National Football League with the Bengals and Patriots, and also his admission about how he might have handled some things differently. He's grown up a little bit. You're going to see a side of Corey Dillon that you haven't seen. I think you're going to enjoy it. Welcome to our beautiful studios at First Star Logistics for another edition of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And special guest today, the legendary, the iconic Corey Dillon. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Ain't nothing much. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you what, you were the most fierce running back. You finished runs with more authority than anybody I've ever seen. How's your body doing these days?
You know what? Not bad. It's holding up. It's holding up. But I do feel it when it's cold in the morning, though. I tell you that much.
I hear that. This is going to be a Corey Dillon, This Is Your Football Life kind of podcast. 11,241 yards rushing in 10 NFL seasons and 82 rushing touchdowns in 10 NFL seasons. Over 8 per season, and the consistency with which you rush for touchdowns. You had 5 different seasons where you rushed for 10 or more touchdowns. What was it about you when you smelled the goal line, man?
Just being relentless. That was my job, you know, get the tough yards and, you know, finish runs and to actually, you know, put some points on the board. So I took pride in that.
You're rushing yards of over 11,000. You're still in the top 20 in the National Football League. Do records like that, records that you set during the course of your illustrious career at all levels, you know, high school, college, National Football League, are those important to you?
You know, me personally, I really don't think about them that much. But I tell you what, like, if somebody bring it up, then I have a, you know, flashback and be like, you know what? I did do that. That was pretty good. So, you know, overall, you know, something I don't think about daily. But when it's brought to my attention, you know what? I go back and, you know, reminisce a little bit.
All right. So let's start back at high school. Let's go back to the high school days. Okay. Of in Franklin High School. And let's see, you got Parade, USA Today, Best in the West, Tom Fleming All-American Awards as a running back in high school, as well as the fact that you were an unbelievable catcher in baseball, and you were All-Metro, and you were selected by the San Diego Padres to play Major League Baseball potentially. Was that a tough decision? Did your love of baseball, was it as much as football, or did one supersede the other? What was going on there while you were playing high school sports?
Well, you know what? Growing up, I played them both equally. And you know, I love baseball just like I love football. The thing that kind of took me the football route was I was afraid of getting stuck in the minor leagues, you know? So I had to make a decision, like, you know, do I go the baseball route, and who knows? You could be stuck there for X amount of years, or do I pursue football where it's, you know, it's right there. If you're good, you'll make it, you know. So I just chose the football route, you know. And, you know, in hindsight, thinking about it, man, I probably should have stuck with baseball. My body probably wouldn't feel the way it does. But, you know what, back then, football was always my first love. And, you know, I just went with my heart and chose football.
So as a catcher, were you like a great defensive catcher, big arm, big gun on
you? Listen, I didn't only play catcher. I played third, second, left field, center.
Wow.
So I was all over the place, and I was a pretty good baseball player as well.
What you hit? I mean, were you a power hitter? Were you a big stick?
Oh, I led the league in home runs. I batted like 475 one year. So, yeah, I love baseball. I mean, it kind of, you know, the hand-eye coordination kind of, you know, transfer over into the football too, you know. I was just an athlete.
That's the thing that people, I think, really never gave you as much credit as you deserve. Your ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and get you in space with the ball in your hands, receiving a football. You made a lot of big plays as a receiver out of the backfield that way.
You know what? Our offense wasn't set up like that. You know, we was going to get a lot of swing passes or, you know, route running. It wasn't set up that way. But, you know, opportunity came. You know, you got to throw me the ball. I'm going to catch it and try to do something with it.
You know, the thing also about you is your ability to not only, you know, you were one of these special backs that could run you over and run away from you. I mean, you had really good speed. What was your 40 time?
I ran a 4.48.
Unbelievable. At about what, 225?
Yes, sir.
That's unbelievable. That's a size speed ratio that's pretty darn strong. And, you know, in the course of 7 of your 10 seasons, you had a long run during the season of 50 yards or more in 7 of your 10, including a 96-yard touchdown run, an 80-yard run, a 71-yard run, 67-yard run. You'd bust big plays, like I said, run people over, then run away from them. That combination of speed and power was pretty rare.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I just try to, you know, use what God gave me. You know, I will set you up for a couple of quarters and run you over a little bit, loosen you up a little bit, and then later quarters, you know, that allowed me to shake and bake and take one to the house occasionally.
And let's face it, in your career with the Bengals, they had a stretch where really couldn't find a quarterback. And so, I mean, the box got loaded now. It wasn't 8 in the box. It was maybe 9.
And the coach was back there too, right?
Coaches, it was like if it was Canada, we could 12.
Everybody.
Everybody in the box. So, I mean, the numbers that you generated, it was, you know, it was one-dimensional, obviously. It was Corey Dillon. Here we are. See if you can stop Corey Dillon because our passing attack, you know, it's not really up to standard. I mean, that even in my mind puts a different reflection on the numbers that you generated. I mean, you did it against all odds, man.
And this is – and I don't think I get enough credit for that.
Right.
Like most running backs in my era, you know, they had the luxury of playing on a pretty good team, right? Pretty good offensive line. You know, they were multi-dimensional on the offense, had good receivers, this and that. We had the same, but it was a different – It was different. I was getting 9 and 8 man fronts every week. You know what I mean? And yeah. And that's a credit. It's credit to the offensive line and myself that, you know what, we powered through some of that. You know, we knew what we had to do. We knew what we were good at. And some weeks we went out there and got the job done.
You know, it was one of those situations where if you had, you know, 20 carries in the game, 10 of them might have been, all right, well, you know, they corralled you. You know, you didn't get much of a gain or maybe even a tackle for loss, whatever. But then you'd bust them for 30, 40, 28. I mean, when you gassed them big because they're all up there crowding the line of scrimmage. And if you ran through somebody, made somebody miss whatever, it was like sayonara time.
Yeah, and I was like every week. I knew what to expect. I knew what I was going up against. And my whole thing was, you know what, just stay patient. And, you know, keep your eyes open. And if you see a cutback or if the holes there explode through and something good happen, my whole thing was, my philosophy was, you know what, when I get the ball, I'm just trying to get 4 yards. Anything after 4 yards is a great play. So that's the only thing I was thinking on every time I touched the ball. And you know what, sometimes it just explode for 30, 40, or, you know, or go for 60.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your college career, let's start with your junior college career, Dixie State College.
Okay.
You have 1,899 yards, 20 touchdowns, and you average over 6.8 yards per rush attempt, carrying at 279 yards. I mean, that's like, that's dominating people. And you were junior college offensive back of the year by College Sports Magazine. So, you know, you set a foundation there. Then you go to University of Washington in Seattle. And this one's crazy, Corey. Tell me about this game. All-time single-season record for rushing yards, 1,695 yards. Touchdowns, you had 24. This was in 1996. But in the first quarter against San Jose State in mid-November, you rushed for 222 yards in the quarter, in the first quarter. An 83-yard touchdown catch. So you set NCAA records for both rushing yards and all-purpose yards, 305 all-purpose yards in one quarter. What do you remember about that game?
You know, we had some hogs up front at the University of Washington. And Benji Olsen, Bob Sapp, Olin Krutz. We had some professionals playing at the college level.
Yeah.
And that game was, you know, was rainy. It was kind of chilly, it was cold, you know, Seattle. I'm used to it. And I don't know, man. I was just in a zone. It seemed like every time I touched the ball, you know, there was a big, big hole, and I just scampered off and just kept running. So in that game, it didn't seem real. I wasn't even exhausted or tired or anything of the sort. After the quarter, I looked, and they showed the stats, and I was like, "No way! I just didn't do that." So I kind of shocked myself that game.
I'm telling you, that's mind boggling when you think about it. And you prorate it four quarters. You know, you're talking about 880
right?
rushing in the game.
And just let me play one more quarter.
Let's yeah, really. Right. Let me have 600 scrimmage yards and a half.
It could have happened that game. Who knows?
Unbelievable. All right. So then you come to the Cincinnati Bengals in a couple of games that, you know, I remember very well, obviously, and I'm sure you've got some solid memories about it. All right. You rushed 39 times for 246 yards and four touchdowns. You beat the Tennessee Oilers 41-14, and you break Jim Brown's rookie rushing record that it stood for 40 years. What was that like to break a record set by the legendary Jim Brown? What went through your mind at that point?
Honestly, I was just trying to win the game. So I have never, like, you know, kept checking the scoreboard, see where I'm at yards-wise. My whole focus was, you know, doing whatever it took to, you know, win the game and be productive. And on that night, you know what? I didn't even know. They actually pulled me out, and I was told on the sideline to go back in.
Yep.
Because you know what? A record. You know, you're approaching some record. I was just like, oh, okay, let's see if we can get it. So a couple of plays later, we actually broke the record. And what's so funny about that is, like, Jim Brown is like my all-time favorite running back ever. I tell people he's the godfather of all of us running backs. So everybody wanted to be like him. So in some fashion, and to actually go out there and you know, break his record and be mentioned along with him was unbelievable, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Brown, I went to Syracuse, and of course he's the greatest athlete probably ever to come out of Syracuse. His best sport was lacrosse. I mean,
yeah,
he was unbelievable. All American in lacrosse. But I mean, to average over 100 yards rushing per game for your career, Jim Brown averaged over 100 yards rushing.
That's insane.
That is nuts. I mean, absolutely nuts. But 39 rushes in that game. Your four rushing touchdowns is still a team record. And your 1,129 yards rushing as a rookie is still a team record. Are those kind of things, you know, does that mean something to you at this stage of your life?
Yeah, it does, because you know what? Like, it was hard. You know, it was tough. It was tough sledding. And when I look back on it, I'm satisfied. Like, you know I went out there and left it all out there. So when I look back on things, and you know, people bring up the records and my stats, and you know, I can say I left it all out there. I have no regrets. There's nothing I'm like, I should have done. Because, you know, in my mind, I did it all. So I'm kind of satisfied with my career. And those are good memories for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can understand that. I got another good memory for you. October 22nd of 2000.
Oh, wow.
An NFL record. Most yards rushing in a single game, 278 yards. You broke the record of 275 set by a guy named Walter Payton. So you're breaking Jim Brown's records, Walter Payton's records. This is it's like unbelievable. You averaged 12.64 yards per carry in that game. So you were busting them, man. I mean,
that is nuts. That's it's crazy about it. That's insane itself. And what I would say to that is, I think I had one carry call back that I went for 30.
Yeah.
It could have very well been like 300 yards, to be honest with you. So, and I think 6 or 8 was negative yards. So if you start putting it together, that's like 15 carries, 14, 15 carries for 278 yards.
Unbelievable.
I mean, right?
Really is nuts, man. I remember before that game, you know, down on the field, kind of trying to collect some last minute stories or whatever. And the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos was, you know, kind of strutting around the field a little bit. And you came running by. And I remember Dick LeBeau saying, two guys that when I've been standing on the football field, when they've run by me, I can literally feel the earth move. The earth starts to shake a little bit. He said, Jimmy Brown. And that's when I was running up trying to tackle that beast. He said, and then Corey. Corey runs by me on the field during the week of practice. Like, man, it just so powerful, man. He's digging turf. He's striding. He goes, these two guys are the most powerful people I've ever seen run a football. And that when you ran by that defensive coordinator, he turned around and looked at his player. All right, guys, let's go get ready, man. We got a big one today. He's like, oh, here we go. Corey Dillon's a man.
Yeah, man. And, I mean, I think that was our first win of the year, to be honest with you.
Right.
And it was just one of those situations where offensive line was doing a hell of a job. We're just giving everybody opportunities on the ground to get something done. If I'm not mistaken, I think Peter Warg had a reverse field 70, 80 yard, you know, touchdown run as well. So we were getting it done on the ground. And it's the crazy thing about it is they were stacking the box. We didn't pass the ball that well that game.
Right.
And we were still accomplished a win and a record in the same game. You know, that's crazy.
It is. I mean, Greg Robinson's the defensive coordinator's name for the Denver Broncos. And I remember the look on his face when you ran by him. He was like, oh, we got some trouble today.
and I know the record's been broken, you know,
right,
multiple times. But, you know, I like the way we did it. I mean, that wasn't no scrub defense at all. I think there were like one or two against the run that year. And we put up like 400 plus rushing yards on them.
It's that is amazing. And like you said, the record has been broken. Jamal Lewis went for 295, and then the great Adrian Peterson went for 296. But it wasn't on less than 20 carries. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, you know what?
Something about that. That averaging 12.64 yards per rush. Man.
I like the way I did it. You know, I accept it. I like the way I broke the record. You know, that was 22 carries. I don't think too many people could do it on 22 carries.
Yeah, that's significant to say the least. So then you finish your career 7 years with the Bengals, 3 years with the Patriots. The first year you go to New England, 2004 season, you got a quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. So, you know, you're a little bit more balanced offensively.
I would say just a little bit.
And you set career highs and franchise records for the Patriots and career highs for you, 1,635 yards rushing, averaged over 100 yards rushing a game, and 12 touchdowns. You know, I mean, how about that season?
Well, I was coming off him being hurt, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Last season with the Bengals, man, I tore my groin. I missed over 8 games. So just being inspired to go out there and be myself again was something I wanted to do. So I was kind of, the passion was there. I wanted to show up, you know. I'm going to a new situation. And, you know, it was a lot of things, you know, leaving Cincinnati, which, you know, I wanted to resolve, you know, by showing up and playing well. And I think that inspired me to go up to New England and get the job done. And I got to tell you something, Mom, it wasn't easy because they just won a Super Bowl. They just came off and went in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I was getting everybody's, or we were getting everybody best shot every week. So it wasn't a cakewalk up there. It was tough. It was a grind. And you know what? We got it done. Won a Super Bowl.
I'll tell you, man, with a guy with your physical abilities that has a chip on his shoulder about as big as a 2x4. Woo! That's big combination.
I wasn't in a playing mood. I was serious. I was dead serious about, you know,
right,
getting back to being me and going and finishing the job. So it turns out, you know what, we won a Super Bowl in the process as well.
Yep. In the playoffs, in 3 postseason games, you rushed for 292 yards, damn near 100 yards a game, caught 9 passes for 53 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So during the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you showed up. I mean, when you had to play your best in the biggest game, you did that. How satisfying was that?
It was great. And you know what? And it's just, it was a compliment to, you know, the teammates around me, because that was my first time. They've been there before.
Right.
And what helped me was them, how calm they were in all situations. I mean, it could be a do or die situation. And then you sit there and look at Tom Brady and he's so super cool. You know, that kind of made me, you know, relax and be like, yeah, we got this. You know, so it was my teammates that helped me in those situations of, you know, being calm and just focus on getting the job done.
In your final year with the Patriots, Curtis Martin retired, and you finished that season. While you were playing that year, you were the leading active rusher in the National Football League. Nobody playing in the league that year had rushed for more yards than Corey Dillon. Was that a meaningful season for you?
Yeah, and it mean I'm old, too. I mean, I got old real quick. But I just think, you know what? It meant a lot. But I just think year 10, I was just mentally – it was just time for me to go. I think I was, you know, just kind of burnt out of running and running and running and running. And I think I made the right call. Yeah, I could have probably went on and played 2 or 3 more years. Mm-hmm. But the way I play, I was just asking. I was going to ask for an injury. So now I made my mind. I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to call it quits while I'm ahead and healthy. And, you know, decided to retire.
And I know there was an injury in the running backs for the Patriots the year you decided to retire, and maybe a little bit of, might I be able to come back? And you stood firm. You said, now I've decided I'm retiring. And how close did you come to coming back and playing that year?
Not close at all. I was done.
You were done.
I was done. I you know what? The mental grind of it. And listen, I played in the era where it was 2-a-days, okay?
Yep.
You know, and that grind, my age, and just the 2-a-days of a training camp turned me off. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna put my body through that. Right. So mentally, I was done with it, and I was fine. I was fine with that. I didn't get no itch. A year later or even during the start of the season, that I think I made the right choice and called it quits.
So every level you played, junior college, you're running back of the year in all of junior college. At Washington, your first team All-American in 96. You make the Pro Bowl 7 years with the Bengals, 3 years in a row from 99 to 01. And then your first year with the Patriots that we talked about, Super Bowl year in 2004, make the Pro Bowl, 4 Pro Bowl seasons. And you're also a Super Bowl champion. Of all those things, what's the most meaningful?
Super Bowl champion. Because that's what I played the game for, to win a championship. That's been on my mind since I started playing when I was 6 years old. That's what you play for, to win a championship and to actually accomplish something you've been dreaming about since you was little. And you actually did it, dream come true. And that's why I say I'm satisfied, because, you know, I actually accomplished what I set out to do.
I remember when the Bengals took you with the second pick in the 1997 draft, 43rd pick overall, Jim Anderson, I caught up with Jim Anderson. He's like, man, we got something. Because where do you see this guy? And Jim Anderson, obviously, was a big fan of Corey Dillon and instrumental in your early years development. Yes. What's Jim Anderson mean to you?
Man, one of the best coaches I've ever been around. I mean, we talk to this day.
Yeah.
A good dude, man, a good mentor. So I know in the thick of it, you know, we had our disagreements because, you know what, hey, things weren't going well. He's going to voice his opinion, I'm going to voice mine.
Right.
But it's all respect. I respect that guy. He's a good dude, good coach. Taught me a lot, you know, and I appreciate him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's a real good man, you know, like, and listen, and I know some people go off and go their separate ways, and Jim is still here, still being my coach, and we still talk, and, you know, we have meaningful conversations like we supposed to, so... You know, that's my guy until I'm gone. He's a real, real good person.
When you look back on it, like you said, some disagreements with Jim, you know, different opinions, and from an organizational standpoint, you know, you had some issues, obviously. Any regrets about anything, or do you feel like, hey, it's just the way it was meant to play out?
Well,
play out
that way. I was young, first of all, so mine ain't in mature like it is now. So when you're young, you make mistakes. I would say I should have went about it a different way.
Uh-huh.
I wish I could, but then I think about, like, if I didn't go about that way, how would it turn out? Would I be able to go to New England or whatever? So, you know, I got to take the good with the bad. And in that case, it just turned out how it was supposed to. But looking back on it, yeah, there's a lot of things I could have did differently. You know what I mean? And wish I did. Wish, you know, I could have accomplished my dreams there instead of, you know, having to venture off and do it somewhere else. So there's a lot of things. I mean, there's no right and wrong in this. We all make mistakes, but we grow, you know. We learn from them and we move on. And, you know, I'm at a stage right now, I look back at it and be like, boy, that was crazy. What are you doing? Right?
Like,
what was you thinking back then? Right. You know, I can laugh about it now because, you know what, I grew up. But, yeah, there's a lot of things I wish I could have did different.
So you're a father of 3 daughters.
Yes.
All of them athletes? I know you got a couple of them pretty darn good athletes.
Well, my oldest just graduated from USC.
Yeah.
You know, she was on a road team, played volleyball, et cetera, et cetera. My middle child, she's a cheerleader at Sierra Canyon. My youngest, Devin, is a volleyball player as well, and she's on the travel team. She also attends Sierra Canyon school. So, yeah, they all athletic. And the thing about it is I love, because they're super smart. I don't care about them being athletic. I care about them being book smart, and they yes. are. And I'm more impressed with that than their, you know, athletic ability.
That's great. What are you doing with yourself? Everybody in here in Cincinnati and around the country would like to know what Corey Dillon's up to on top of being a father of some female athletes at the collegiate level. What else is up?
My thing is staying off the grid.
So we're lucky. We're privileged to have you, man. Hey, it's an honor to have Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon's sight, and I'm telling you, man. I just like living a normal life. There's nothing too special about what I'm doing. I'm doing father stuff and just being me. I just like my peace and quiet. And you know what? I try to get better as a person each day. That's all I'm doing.
Do you follow the Patriots and the Bengals, the two teams that you played for? Do you continue to follow them? What's your opinion of Joe Mixon, the current running back with the Bengals?
He's nice. I like him. I had opportunity to talk to him and meet him, and you know, I wish him well. He has all the tools of being a great running back, you know, and with the addition with the new receiver coming in, their offense looks strong. So I'm expecting him to have a breakout year.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, there are some similarities with yourself and Joe Mixon. Similar size, you know, he's got speed and power. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. There are some similarities, but like I said before, man, Corey Dillon, you'd run angry, man, and just finish people. I've never seen a guy with more physicality running the football than Corey Dillon, I swear.
All he knew how to play one way, and that was hard and fast. In my mind, playing slow, and you only got to catch an injury. So I was always full go every time, trying to finish the run, fight for the extra yard, you know, and that was just something I grew up with, playing with my brothers, man. We played rough football, yep. You know, and they taught me the game, and it just translated, you know, it worked out well in the NFL, but we played on concrete, you know, so, I mean, imagine, I said, I'm protected, I got pads on, you kidding me, let's go for it, so, yeah, I appreciate them, man. They taught me the game, and you know what? 10 years in the NFL, it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad at all.
Football on concrete. Man, that'll
get you. Yeah, imagine that. That'll get you.
So a couple of other names that you're in part of as a team with the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, is he going to play till he's 50? I mean, this dude's crazy, man. What?
Man. I came to the conclusion until he's nuts because I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, dude, you're the greatest of all time.
No
the
question.
Greatest of all time. What are you doing? You know? But that's what I respect about him, man. He's an ultimate competitor. And I tell you what, man, I've been around it. When that guy get to yelling, let's go, it's time. It's showtime. And he still got that energy. So who knows? Who knows? He might try to press it to 50.
It's unbelievable. And finally, Bill Belichick. What? Any Bill Belichick story that's that would interest everybody with respect to when you were with the Patriots?
Man, people don't know how funny he is. Man, he is real funny. I know he might come on for the media and give off a different energy, but inside in the meeting rooms, oh, he's hilarious for real. He had me laughing all the time. And the thing I respect about him, he's up front. He's cutthroat. He's gonna let you know exactly where you are, where you stand, and he's not gonna blow smoke at you. You know, he's direct, which I respect a lot. And the funniest thing, you know, his famous quotes, do your job, and all this other stuff. The thing I remember the most is the Super Bowl meeting. And I'm going to say something, and guys, forgive me. And I remember this to this day. He said, you know what? Don't be the one to fuck this up. And I remember that. I remember it like it was yesterday, man. And that always stuck with me. I was just like, wow, don't be the guy to mess this thing up. And that's motivation enough. So, yeah, he's great coach, genius, man. He is who he is. And he earned it. You know what I mean?
I hear you. The Bengals are got a ring of honor, Corey. I mean, Paul Brown and Anthony Munoz are the first two in the ring of honor. They're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so makes sense that they lead off the ring of honor. What would it mean to be in the ring of honor?
That would be great. That would be, you know what, icing on the cake. You know, it'd be well-deserved. I earned it, you know, along with all other nominees. But I will say this, though. Ken Anderson,
yep.
Ken Riley.
Yep.
Shouldn't be no vote on them. They should be up there right now, mm-hmm. along with Munoz and everybody else. That's two people you shouldn't have to vote on, you know? That should be automatic.
They should be in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. That should be an automatic bid.
Yep.
And you know, I don't understand the voting process. I guess it was, you know, season ticket holders is voting and whatever. Sometimes you gotta cut the crap and just be like, this is what it is. Put these people in and, you know, set a new trend, you know, bring some new energy. That would set the season in motion, man. Both Ken should be in there automatically, hands down, no argument.
Here, I'll tell you, you know, it's Kenny Riley, teammates with both those guys. The two Kens are, they're special football players, special people. And yeah, I'm 100% behind everything you just said.
No question about it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. And you know, we sometimes get caught up in the political side of stuff. Them two, that's a win-win for Cincinnati and everybody else. And it's simple. It's automatic. They're one of the greatest to ever do it there. So why not?
I hear you, sir. Hey, Corey, I'll tell you what. You were phenomenal. Appreciate you carving time. I'm glad I got you off the grid for a little while. I'm glad I got you on the grid. Visit for a little while, and you were great. And I'll tell you what, man. To this day, you ran. As a former offensive lineman, all I can say is I would have loved to have blocked for Corey Dillon, because you would have been such a – every time I watched you bust somebody big time, you know, put cleat marks on their waffle belly and put cleat marks up and down their chest and stomach, that would have been a motivation for me. And you motivated a lot of linemen over the years, my man, no question about it.
Thanks, Dave. And it would have been an honor. They had a big guy, Dave, blocking for me. Trust me.
Well, I definitely would have tried to get him out of your way and make sure that you didn't crush me in my backside. Have a great one, my man. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Corey.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.